This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I think I have a confession to make. I've been a believer since I was about six or seven years old. That's over 30 years ago. And I think from time to time in my life, if I have to be honest with you, I've struggled with worry. I've worried so much until from time to time I see a gray hair popping out because I'm worried about so much stuff. I worry about stuff like money. When I was in school, I worried about my grades. I wanted to make an A in every class. I worried about relationships. I wanted to have a girlfriend. Amen. Later in life, worried about marriage. When I got a job, I worried about my job performance. Instead of just consistently trusting the Lord, no matter what station or what place He has me in life. And I thought since I had this opportunity to speak today, that maybe I'm not the only worrier in the house. Maybe there are some others who worry from time to time and from different stations of and different places. You worry about where God has you, and does God know where you are, and does God know what He's doing, and you may be able to do a little bit better than God if you were in control. And I thought maybe if there's a few more worriers in the house, that one worrier to another, I could come and encourage you not to worry this morning. Now, I do realize that we can't always be happy, but the Bible does command us not to worry. As we look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, and this morning I'm only speaking to those who struggle from time to time, like I do with worry, or maybe you're here this morning and you feel the crunch of a new semester and you're concerned, you're worried. I want to speak to your heart, and maybe this is not for you today. Maybe you need to write this down, and maybe later on in the semester as you take a test from Dr. Gentry, you can write this down and work with me, somebody. As you take a Western Man, an exam later on in the semester, you just write this down right through here. Or when you're going through hermeneutics or Old Testament, and you can just write this down, and maybe it can be useful to you when you're going through life's pressure moments. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, here's what it says. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? Or what shall I drink? Or what shall I wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Brothers and sisters, from one worrier to another, this passage gives me lots of consolation. In verse 25, do not worry. In verse 31, do not worry. In verse 34, do not worry. He reminds us here that life, as precious as it is, there's more to life than what you will eat or what you will drink. There's more to life than the food that you have. It's more to life than the clothes that you put on this body, this tent. Life is more than the clothes that you wear. I remember being in junior high some years ago, and everybody had a members-only jacket. And I told my mom, she was shopping for me for a coat, and I said, Mom, I need a members-only jacket. And she said, what is a members-only jacket? I said, well, right here it says members-only, and I need one of those jackets to wear to school. And my mom says, do they sell it at Walmart? And I'm like, no, Mom, they don't sell members only at Walmart. And I need a members only jacket to keep the kids from picking on me. And my mom looked at me with the most sincere look. She said, Andre, they're going to pick at you because I'm going to purchase for you whatever Walmart is selling. I prayed all the way to Walmart, please let them sell members only jackets. Needless to say, I was picked on because Walmart didn't carry members-only jackets. Brothers and sisters, the body is more than what you put on. What this text reminds me of, and he gives us some beautiful illustrations here, Matthew does, that life is more important than physical things. Life is more important than physical things. And often when we're thinking about what will I do next, or where does God have me, or about the grades I make in the class, life is more important than these physical things that are passing away, that's fleeting by at the moment. He reminds us of a couple of illustrations here. He says, notice the birds of the air. Man, they're not planting anything, but God always provides for their needs. Notice the lilies of the field. Cut down the day, grow up tomorrow. They neither toil nor spin, but God always seems to bring it back. He clothes the field. And if you think that's something, Solomon was a rich man. Gold everywhere. But in spite of all the gold that Solomon had, all this silver he had and the rubies and diamonds, nothing be compared to how God takes care of his field. And if God can take care of his field, can't God take care of you? God can take care of you. And he reminds us in this text in Matthew, worrying doesn't add anything to your life. As a matter of fact, it takes away the good nectar of today. It takes away the sweet things of today by worrying about tomorrow. And I want to confess to you, I've been there too many times. Worried about something that was going to happen tomorrow. And the worry, at least in my cases, has been more traumatic than the actual event itself because I worried so much. I didn't let God handle it. I'm tempted to say that worrying is a sin, but that's not what the text says. The text tells me to worry shows a sign of little faith, of not trusting God with everything we have. And he tells us here, instead of worrying about these physical things, what we need to do is seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew tells us if we care about the things of God, God will care about the things that we need. He'll give us all the food that we need. He'll give us the food and the shelter, the clothes that we need. Now, I want to remind you, he may not always buy the top of the line stuff, but thank God for Walmart. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. He will see us through. He will take care of us. That's the kind of God that we serve. Every day won't be filet mignon. Every day won't be salmon. But thank God for hot dogs in the cafeteria. Thank God for hot dogs in the cafeteria. God has a way of taking care of, if we just put God's needs ahead of ours. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I want to tell you, that's easier said than done. As a pastor, that's easier said than done, especially when you're trying to build a new building. That's easier said than done. I'm always looking at the bottom line, and God has to remind me, hey, stop looking at the bottom line and keep your eyes on me. And I've come to resolve in my spirit, if God wants it done, he's going to provide. As a professor, God reminds me, hey, don't worry. Especially when I get students in class, they seem like they don't want to do what I'm asking them to do. They're causing me frustration and confusion, and I just want to hit them side. No, I don't want to hit them side the head. I want to pray for them. That's what I meant. I don't know where the other thing came from. God tells me, don't worry. He has everything under control. You know, tomorrow has enough worry of its own. So don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Enjoy this day. I have to mention, before I go to my second scripture, that in Matthew, he said, give us this day our daily bread. God takes care of today. And I can trust him with my tomorrow. And I know that's easier said than done. But brothers and sisters, I want you to trust God with tomorrow. And if you can trust God with tomorrow, you can trust God with next semester. If you can trust God with your tomorrow and next semester, you can trust God with your next year. And if you can trust God with your tomorrow and your semester and your next year, guess what? You can trust God for the rest of your life. Trust God. He knows exactly where you are. He knows your address. He knows your dress. God will and God can take care of you. Worrying doesn't change the situation. But seeking the kingdom of God does. You know, that's the problem with us. We worry too much. And from one worrier to another one, I've heard plenty of people tell me, don't worry, and I go, okay, I won't worry about it. But you know what? What I found in my life, I need to put something in the place of worry to help me get over worry. So if you would allow me, I want to give you the solution here, something to replace worry with. And I want to look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9 to give you something to replace the worry in your life. Because I don't want to just get the cancer of worry out of your life. I want to put something there to keep this cancer of worry, this stress of worry, this worry from coming back. And Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. You know, one of my favorite verses, I just have to mention this. This is totally for free. Is rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There's something I like about that Philippians 4:4. You know, a little song just whispered to us at the beginning, don't worry, be happy. We got to rewrite that song. Don't worry, but rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When you wake up in the morning, you should have something to rejoice about. When you go to bed at night, you should have something to rejoice about. Rejoice in the Lord when always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. I want to give you five things to help you overcome worry. Write these down if you don't need them today. Don't worry about it. Just write it down for later. Or write it down for your neighbor or for your boyfriend or for your girlfriend. Call your mommy and daddy when this is over with and say, I got something for you to help you with worry today. Here it is, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. He says, first of all, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer. The first thing I want you to put in your grab bag for the day is the P of prayer. Brothers and sisters, this is what I found out in my life. If you pray, you don't have to worry. But if you're worrying, you're not praying enough. I want to say that one more time. If you pray, you don't have to worry. But if you're worrying, you're not praying enough. And here's the Apostle Paul as he writes about this situation from this spiritual discipline. He reminds each and every one of us that we need to pray. Have supplications. We need to pray. Not just a general prayer, but a particular prayer, a specific prayer. We need to pray about how much everything that comes our way, whether it's something small, something big, something in between, pray about everything. And that's not the only P that it gives us here. There's another spiritual discipline that I think is here. He also tells us about our attitude. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He's talking about our attitude here, and I decided to, if you'll let me use my sanctified imagination, I call this one praise. That's the second P, praise. Now, I don't know about your church, but at our church, when we're going through and life has been tough that week, it's been hard that week, and we get to church, especially on Sunday morning, what we do, we give God thanks. And we give God praise. And often we have to give God praise in advance of what he's going to do. Because we don't see how it's going to work out. We don't see how God's going to let the situation work out. We don't know how it all comes together. But we start by giving God praise in advance for what he's going to do. And for some of us, we wait too late. We wait till it's already done. We act like we all from Missouri this morning. Our show me state. You got to praise God in advance for what he's about to do. You know what? The old folks used to say in our church like this, when praises go up, blessings come down. I said, when praises go up, blessings come down. I like to give God the right attitude and thanksgiving. Lord, however it turns out, I give God thanks for you. I give God praise for you. I just thank you for who you are in my life at this very moment because you've been good to me. If you don't do anything else, you've already done enough. I give you praise and glory in my life for what you're doing right now. You know, for some of us, we need to take the time to give God praise. Now, I realize some of us give God praise, we just say hallelujah. Some of us, we say thank you. For some of us, we raise our hands. For some of us, we stand on our feet. For some of us, we lie on the floor. Whatever is your posture giving God praise, you should give God praise continuously and consistently, no matter what station you are in your life. Let the evil one know he never has dominion in your life because you're going to always give God the praise for your life. You're going to always give God glory in your life for wherever you are. The first P is that of prayer. The second one is that of praise. Have a thanks for heart. Have thanksgiving. The very next verse, I think, says this to us. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This next one here, I just love it. It's the third one is peace. We can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. I thank God for his peace. This is a military verse. It's kind of the idea that we have a God that's going to guard our heart, that's going to watch over our heart, that's going to protect our troubled soul, that's going to flood our troubled soul, and we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Has anybody been in a situation before where there was chaos around? And in the midst of chaos, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of, I can't use that word at CIU. In the midst of all the stuff that's going on in your life. Ask me after chapel, I'll tell you what that was. In the midst of all the stuff you have going on in your life, God just somehow comes in and calms your troubled soul. Maybe someone in here has had a family matter before and God has calmed your soul. Maybe somebody in here has gone through a broke day before. Anybody ever been broken here before? I'm talking about a broke day. I ain't talking about where you can call somebody. I'm talking about a shown up broke day before where you didn't know where the resources were coming from. You didn't know how you were going to get things met. But somehow God gave you peace that passes all understanding before it was ever worked out. God let you know that I got your back. I thank God for the peace that passes all understanding. It guards my heart. It keeps my troubled soul. Thank God for his peace. And then this next verse, I mean, every time I read this next verse, it just does something for me. Verse 8. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Beloved, I think that fourth P is positive thoughts. You know, instead of seeing the glass half empty, we need to start seeing the glass as half full. Because God is right here. He's present. You know, I love Philippians, and I wish I had time to preach the whole book. Verse 5 tells us, after that verse, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, when I say rejoice, he tells us in verse 5, he said, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. When the Lord is present in your life, you can pray. You can give God praise. You can have his peace. But those negative thoughts can go away. And you can replace all those negative thoughts with positive thoughts. Don't you see those six words that are used there? He tells us whatever is true. He tells us whatever is noble, whatever is right. Do you see it there? Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report. You need to fill your mind with these things all day. That's what Paul was telling this church. Fill your thoughts, fill your mind. You know, there's so much garbage. The music that we listen to, the movies that we go and see, sometimes the conversations that we have, man, they can get our minds so off track. And you can have so many negative thoughts. And you can't walk around in trash. This is what my grandma want me to tell y'all. She said, you can't walk around in trash too long without trash getting on you and without trash getting in you. I wonder how many of us need to clean up our thoughts today. And so, Lord, give me some positive thoughts. Give me some positive thoughts in you. That's what Paul tells us here, to think on these things. And all of these, in my best estimation, are positive thoughts, pure thoughts, thoughts of good report. And Paul, you know, being the athlete that Paul is, that's why he comes back in verse 9. He gives us one more P that I can work with. Comes back in verse 9, he said, the things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. What Paul tells us in this last verse for the day, for our discussion for the moment, is that, brothers and sisters, that we need to practice these things. That's that last P. He said, these things that we've learned, these things that we received, these things that we've heard, these things that we've seen, Paul says, do these things. Now, you know, as you look at Philippians chapter 4, it seems like as if Paul is calling us to the carefree life. He's not calling us to the carefree life. You can read Paul's other epistles and you can quickly see that Paul is not carefree. He's caring and he's genuinely concerned, but he doesn't allow his concern to become worry. And that's what I want to tell you today. He's not calling us to the carefree life. I was preaching this one day, and one of the brothers in church said, you know, well, I ain't got to worry about looking for a job anymore. If God wants me to have a job, he'll give me one. Nope, that's not what God is saying here. He's not calling us to the carefree life. He's calling us to still be concerned and you genuinely care. But don't let worry set in. God will get you where he's taking you in due time. So the problem today is that from one worrier to another, sometimes we worry sometimes, much too much. I know I do. I know I got a few friends in here today that can confess you worry too much. And the solution to all this worrying is to keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God in prayer and in praise. To keep your eyes on God and with the peace of God and positive thoughts. And Paul says to practice these things which you've seen and learned and heard of me. Practice these things. But I want to tell you the good news, the result, the reward of this whole time that we had together. You know what I found out about worry? It can paralyze you. It can keep you from doing anything. It can keep you from moving, from trusting God, to getting your work done, to trying anything new. It keeps you from trying anything big. When you're worried, it can paralyze you. It can keep you in a straitjacket for the rest of your life. You don't want to try anything because you don't want to worry about it. You don't want to worry about it. And maybe today, my goal in preaching this for us is that we break free from that straitjacket, that we shake off that paralysis, and we say, God, I'm going to trust you. Wherever you lead, I will follow. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about next week. I have plans, but I'll submit all of my plans to you because I'm not worried about it anymore. It's not my problem. It's God's problem. I'm going to just wherever he says go, I'm going to go. Whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to trust him, obey, submit to the authority of his word, submit to the Holy Spirit's work in my life, submit to the call of God. I'll take any challenge that comes my way because I realize that God has my back. Maybe there's someone here today. God has brought you to this mountaintop experience to break free. That says, I'll try big things for God now. Because I'm not worried anymore. I'm not going to be in a straitjacket. I'm not going to be paralyzed. I'm going to trust God to do whatever he wants to do. Let's pray. Maybe there's someone here today as we get ready to close here that says, you know what? From one worrier to another, he was talking to me today. Not me, but the Holy Spirit was talking. Maybe you're concerned about things back home, maybe things going on in the semester. And if that's you today, and you just want to break free, you just want to get rid of the paralysis that can hold you back from doing everything that God has called you to do, I just want you to stand right where you are and submit everything you have to the Lord. If it weren't for you, don't worry about it. Only for those who worry. Only for those who are stressed out and concerned and worried. If this is for you today, you needed one of those P's, I need to pray a little bit more. If God is speaking to your heart today, just stand and say, Lord, do business with me today, not only this moment, but for the rest of my life. To help me not to be a worrier. To help me not to be stressed out about it. To trust you with the small things and the medium-sized things and the big things. I'm going to trust you with everything I have. I'm going to start practicing a little bit more what your word has asked me to do, what I've seen in the spiritual giants such as Paul. I'm going to cast my cares on you because I know you care.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.